Okay, we'll get started. Just that you're aware that next Wednesday is actually Ash Wednesday. So we start Lent in Spanish, La Quaresma. So hopefully you'll all be able to come to church on that day to receive your ashes. Is ashes more important than Holy Communion? For many people it is, no? But it shouldn't be that way, should it? No? Ashes actually means this. The ashes are taken from the palms. When you go to Mass on Palm Sunday, and you burn the palms, and they take those ashes, and they're the ones that the priest places on the forehead on Ash Wednesday. And the priest can actually say one of two things. One is repent and believe in the gospel, which is taken from Mark 1:15, if you're a Bible scholar, or Genesis 3:19. Your dust, unto dust shall you return. Remember that you're dust, and to dust you shall return. That means that one day, we're going to die. We don't know the day nor the hour. But a week ago, a 16-year-old girl that was in confirmation last year, she died. Kind of a shock. Got a cold and got a virus and it went to her head, and that basically, that was it. Kind of a shock. So we don't really know when God's going to call us. Jesus says you'll come like a thief in the night. So you all have to think that you have a week to go. What is something you're going to do for Lent? I remember when I was a teenager, like you guys, a little bit older. There's one of my family members, you might call the black sheep, that didn't always collaborate with the family rules. And my parents said, you know, you have to give up something for Lent. And they didn't want to. So after about a week, we're sitting at the breakfast table and a big smile on his face. And he said, Mom and Dad, I know what I'm going to give up for Lent. And they said, what are you going to give up for Lent? And he said, school. I think that's probably crossed all of your minds at least once, but you're not going to do that, okay? No, they think they're thinking about it. I know what I'll give up for Lent. I'll give up going to confirmation. No, don't even let that cross your mind. That comes from the bad spirit, okay? That comes from the devil, right, Luis? Yes. Yeah. You have to recognize you got the good spirit and the bad spirit working on this. So all of you have to try to think, what are you going to do for Lent? Some prayer that maybe you normally don't do. Some type of sacrifice, something you're going to give up in that school. Some act of charity that you may not maybe implement, help out someone. Right? So we can all do something. We all have to do something. So let's return to one of your favorite topics. I know you guys like this topic so much, we're going to be revisiting it a second time. I know you love this topic. We're going to be talking about hell. Okay? So I'm going to be giving you guys hell today, okay? It's a great topic. The purpose we're giving you hell is so that you won't end up there for all eternity. Ready, Freddy? Let's go for it. The picture is from one of the most famous literary classics in the world by Dante. It's called The Divine Comedy, where Dante goes through a hell, purgatory, into heaven. And there are 33 different circles in hell, purgatory, then there's 34 in heaven, so 100 altogether. Remember when I studied at the university, I was studying the Divine Comedy, and my professor said, you're going to end up for all eternity where you stop reading the book. So that motivated us to read the whole thing. So we wouldn't end up in hell or purgatory, but we'd end up in heaven. Good place to end up, right? Okay? So that's Dante's Inferno by Gustave Doré, if you're an expert in art. We have already studied and learned some biblical passages on hell from the teaching of Jesus. In this lesson, I'd like to learn about who goes to hell, why they go to hell, and what hell is like. Finally, on the positive note, what can we do to avoid hell and help others to avoid the true but cruel reality of hell? Have you ever read Revelation or Book of Apocalypse, chapter 22? Were you reading that last night, Revelation chapter 22? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. It speaks about what hell is like. It's like a pool of sulfur, burning sulfur. You know what that is? Did you ever see a volcano when it erupts? Vesuvius, maybe seen a volcano on YouTube? It's kind of scary, isn't it? You can never really predict when it's going to explode. Like the one in Vesuvius in Italy is always the one that's kind of uncertain. I wouldn't want to live near there, would you? So all of a sudden it kind of explodes and you see this lava that's gushing forth from the volcano. First it's explosion, then you see this, it's liquid lava that kind of looks like water, but it's liquid metal, basically, that's rushing down. Yeah, rock. Yeah, like it's liquid rock. How would you like to fall in that? Imagine that. Even the thought of it gets kind of scary, right? So Revelation 22 presents hell as a lake of basically molten lava. I was thinking about that today. Try to imagine you're there and you're surrounded by 10 devils. You know, the devils are much stronger than we are. You know, you think about a strong cholo or Hercules or one of those kickboxers. You ever see them? Huh? Kickboxer. So you're surrounded by 10 of them and they take you, your two arms, and they say, 1, 2, 3, and they launch you about 50 yards and you plunge into that molten lava. How'd you like that? It's kind of scary, isn't it? And you want to get out, but there's no way you can get out. And worse yet, you don't even know how to swim. And it's maybe 500 feet deep. So the lava is going to be getting in your lungs. It's no joke, is it? It's kind of that's kind of a scary depiction of hell, isn't it? So we don't want to go there, do we? But I think if we really meditate upon this, if we don't love God, at least we have fear of the Lord, that will at least get us into purgatory. And we might be there 50 years, 100 years, but eventually we're going to get out. Because one of the worst things of hell is it's eternal. It means it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and it never ends. That's a scary thing. It never ends. So it's kind of a tough topic, but it's real for those who die in mortal sin. Does hell exist? Yes. We have learned this from Jesus in many. I think he's on the tip of your tongue. He's almost on. Many.
5 minutes.
Yeah. Many, good, biblical passages. Good. Okay, so, Luis, with your photographic memory, it still has to be developed, right? Why don't you tell me one of them? When we talked about them last week? Your memory is fading. Maybe Los Años, the years you have underneath your belt, huh? Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said, I was hungry, you didn't give me to eat. Out of my presence into the eternal fire. The parable of the Lazarus and the rich man. Why did that rich man go to hell? Not so much for what he did do, but what he failed to do. John 15, the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you're the branch. Whatever branch does not bring forth fruit will be cut out and thrown into the fire, right? Any of you go to Mass on Sunday? You have heard it said, scandal will enter into the world, but whoever caused one of these to scandal, better for him to die in this way. If your eye is in the scandal to you, pluck it out. Better into heaven with one eye than in the eternal fire with two eyes. If your hand is a source of scandal for you, cut it off. Better into heaven with one hand than be cast into hellfire with two. If your foot is a cause of scandal to you, cut it off. Better enter into heaven with one foot than be cast into hellfire with 2 feet. Strong passages, aren't they? Jesus is saying that we have to use our bodies, our minds, our eyes, our hands, our feet, our heart, our whole being to serve God and not as instruments of sin. Got that? Okay, what is hell? It is... There's a typo there. It's not and, but an. I'll knock off the T. It is an eternal place. It is an eternal place of torment. Write that in there. It's an eternal place of torment in which souls suffer terrible and horrible torments for all eternity. Michael O'Brien is one of the most famous modern Catholic novelists, if you like to read novels. And he wrote Father's Tale. And this guy ends up in Russia. And these Russians start to torture the guy. You know what they do? They bring him into a pool, and they pull him, and even how to swim, they pull him beneath the water, where he can't breathe anymore. Try to imagine it. And then when he starts to breathe water into his lungs, they pull him up. Then they give him a strong shock treatment to bring him back to life. They do that about 5 times. Wow. It's a great novel. But number one, you can't breathe. And number two, they give you a really strong shock because he's about to die. That brings his heart back pumping. Then they do that about 5 times. I think that's kind of an image of what hell is like. Huh? Like an image. So if we don't have love for God, we should have fear of the Lord. That'll get us into purgatory. Next. What are some of these torments? There are many and they go far, write this in it, far beyond our imagination. We'll give a list of some and the most important. See a little decal, a little picture at the side? That's from the Dante's Divine Comedy. And it's, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." So whoever goes to hell, abandon all hope. You're never going to get out. Yeah. Fire. Fire that will torture the soul. How long? Forever. Imagine being burnt, and magnify this 1,000 times, you have a small idea of it. Maybe you burnt your finger and a match, helping your mother cook some tacos or something, and hot oil fell on your hand. Ow. It's just a small image, and then your whole being is suffering hellfire forever. Pray that we don't end up there. Next is, the word is despair. The Italian poet Dante depicts the entrance of hell with these words upon the entrance. Whoever so enters here shall, what? What's it say in the inscription? They should abandon all hope. Abandon all hope. Hatred. Hatred. Try to imagine your top security prison. It's a small cell, and you're surrounded by 10 cholos or gang members that hate you with knives, no? Wow. Wouldn't be fun, would it, no? So hatred, all in hell will hate everybody else in hell as well as themselves. So it's a place filled with hatred. Yeah. What else? Satan or Lucifer and the demons, the damned souls will be in company with Lucifer / Satan and all the devils as companions for all eternity. Not very good company, is it, no? Satan, Lucifer, the devils, the demons. Next, no change. There'll be, write this in it, no change or possibility to leave this condition. No change or possibility to leave this condition. On earth, when we suffer in any way, we hope for healing and relief. In hell, it goes from from bad to worse. You get up one day, you got a headache the whole day. You take, you know, a couple of Advil or maybe ibuprofen. You get up, it's better. Got a toothache. Your mom takes you to the dentist, fills in the cavity, feel better. Break your foot, go to the doctor, got a cast wrap, maybe about three to four weeks. Walking good, okay. Right, Luis? But in hell, the leg's never going to get better. In hell, you get a toothache, no root canal. You got a headache? Headache's going to be get worse and worse. Maybe I mentioned last week, the Beatles, a very famous rock and roll group, they used to sing, it's getting better all the time. Getting better all the time. In hell, it's getting worse all the time, the exact opposite. Not better all the time, but getting worse all the time. Okay, next. This is good stuff because you guys meditate upon this. You're gonna try to change our lives. We don't want to end up there. It's a very serious topic, but very powerful if we meditate upon it. Right? Yeah. Okay, of all the sufferings, what do you think is the worst? Number 9. It's the loss of God. Of all the sufferings, the loss of God is the worst. So write that in there. Worst of all sufferings in hell is the loss of God for all eternity. Loss of God for all eternity. We were created to love God, and we rejected God's love. For all eternity, we will suffer God's wrath and anger and His just punishment. Yes, in Relevant Radio, listen to Patrick Madrid, and one of the guys called in and said, his friend, I don't believe that God punishes us. Well, He certainly does. We don't obey Him, right? Our parents punish us. We're disobedient. We don't like it, but we deserve it, right? In my days, I'm probably 20 years older than your parents. In my days, they used to paddle us, no? My dad graduated from Michigan State, and he had a fraternity paddle. On it was written, Spring Sting. And if we didn't obey, he would hit a grand slam. And guess where? Right here. Grand slam. Well, at least a triple. But I think it is a grand slam. Yeah, the parents have to punish their children. We're God's children. If we don't obey Him, He's going to punish us. Not that He wants to, but we're asking for it. Right, Diego?
Yeah.
Okay, loss of Mary's love and the angels and saints. We also will lose the maternal love of Mary, and the friendship of the angels. Friendship of the angels. I didn't say the Yankees, I said the angels. Right, Luis? or the Dodgers. Friendship of the angels and the saints. Not the New Orleans Saints that play basketball, that play football, okay? So the angels and saints, they're our friends now. But if we go to hell, they're no longer going to be our friends. So we lose God and marry the angels and saints for all eternity. We don't want that to happen, do we? So, what we're going to do now is the following. I don't want to leave these guys in hell. Should I leave them in hell?
No,
okay.
Please.
Yeah, okay. So leave now. You guys are probably going to go home and try to get your teddy bear and sleep tonight, maybe with your abuelita, no? You're probably going to have nightmares tonight if they stop right there, no? Let's move from the very serious part to the optimistic, the positive part, because we're going to see how we can avoid this reality. And that's the second part of our worksheet. Okay, why do souls end up in eternal damnation of hell? And the reason is freedom. Write this in there. All of us are given this very precious gift from God, and that is free will. Write that in there. Free will. None of us are robots. What is free will? God allows us to choose between good and bad. God allows us to choose between good and bad. We can choose to sin by our free will. None of us are robots. So robots can't really serve God. They're not maquinitas. Die in mortal sin. What does it mean to die in mortal sin? Remember what a mortal sin is? I think we've already explained what that is, right? Remember the three conditions of mortal San Diego? Remember what they are? Grave matter, right? Full knowledge. Full consent of the will. Something serious, very serious. You know it, and you do it anyway. Mortal sin. An example? Is Mass on Sunday, is that serious? You know that, right? You know it, right? You purposely decide, I'm not going to go to Mass on Sunday. You stay at home, you watch some TV, you go out to the park to have fun with your friends, go to Pollo Loco to kind of just splurge, huh? And you purposely decide, I'm not going to go to Mass on Sunday. You're healthy. That's a mortal sin. So you're walking home from school and this drunk driver flattens you like a pancake. You don't have enough time to go to confession. You die, you go before God. Hey, you died mortal sin. Hasta la vista. Bye. Don't play Russian roulette with your salvation. You know what Russian roulette is? You get a gun and you spin it. Okay? You're playing Russian roulette with your own salvation. You're spinning cartridge and you shoot, and sooner or later the bullet's going to go right through your brains, huh? Don't do that with your salvation, huh? Well, You know, there's a group of people that really scare me. People that live together. So common. Start to live together, get married in Las Vegas in one of those chapels. You say, oh, getting married, just married civilly. That's not good enough. You gotta get married in the church. It's just a piece of paper. And they go after these people. Look, you gotta get married in the church. You know, they say mañana. You know a little bit of Spanish, what mañana means? Mañana? Tomorrow, do later. I know I preach. I luego mañana, padre. Cálmate, padre. Cálmate, cálmate. No, no te puedes. Vámonos, pues. Luego en 10 años. No, do later. Next year. No, 5 years, 10 years. How do you know you're going to live another 10 years? You might have a heart attack, no? Maybe walking down the street and the guard and the cholo shooting, you don't duck in time. Could happen, right? Could happen. You're choking a hamburger. Can't get the meat out of your throat. There you are. Death row, huh? We don't know when God is going to call us, no? So don't put it off until tomorrow, because tomorrow never exists. We only have now. Got that? There's a lot of people that live together. Well, they call it a trial marriage. Let's try it out, a trial marriage. The other case they say is, hey, we gotta be compatible. Gotta see if we got chemistry. Compatible if we got chemistry, no? You don't have right chemical element, it's going to explode in the laboratory, huh? Don't wait for tomorrow. What do you have to do today? Some of these couples go after for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and when they see me coming, oh, here comes Father Broom, and they run away, but I cut him off. I still got my black belt. You know, I can defend myself, huh? Black belt. So, die in mortal sin. It means to die without grace, without God's friendship. Got that? Die without God's friendship. Mortal sin and hell. Why does somebody go to hell? They go to hell because they, right in there, they die in mortal sin. In a later class, we'll explain in greater detail what are the components of what we call mortal sin. Condemnation to hell. Oh, we'll click an artist, okay? Okay, number 5, condemnation to hell. What can we do to avoid hell? Are you ready? Many things. Letter A. We can avoid mortal sin at all costs? Yes. Okay. So write that in there. Mark the first. Avoid mortal sin at all costs. Number 2. Confession as often and frequent as possible. Yes or no? Yeah. Now these guys should go to confession at least every month. I would say every 2 weeks. The ideal would be every week. Right? The guys should go to confession frequently. Don't put it off. If you got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you smelled some smoke, your house is burning down, would you call the firemen at 7 o'clock in the morning? You're going to be toast, huh? That's a good image, huh? Image of St. Anthony Mary Claret. You got a fire, you call the fireman right away, huh? 911. If your soul is on fire, don't wait. Don't wait a month. Call the fireman, the priest, huh? Put out the fire. Get the hydrant, get the water, huh? Douse the fire. Yeah, we're pretty good firemen, huh? We're firemen, we're doctors, we're psychologists, we're lawyers, we're priests. We got all these different hats we have to wear, huh? Want to live a life that's not boring, become a priest. I tell you, it's the most adventurous vocation in the world, no? Never a dull moment, no? But working to save souls, that's the most important thing. Souls up to heaven. Yeah. How about fervent and frequent prayer that gives us grace and avoids sin? Yes or no? Have you ever really prayed fervently from your heart? You're praying with a little of the fervor to God? Do it. Even if you do it tonight for 1 minute, and that'll change your life. Hey, with a fervor, with passion. Tell God you love Him. You want to be His best friend. Tell Him to help you. Even if it takes 1 minute, that prayer is very pleasing to God. You can do it. Try it. I'll pray for you that you do it in my Mass today. Even if you do it for 1 or 2 minutes, it's going to change your life. But a really fervent prayer. You're paying attention, you're talking to God, you're trusting God. Very few people are fervent because they don't do the exercises. You know? Got to get back, huh? Okay, next is avoid the near occasion of sin. What does that mean? He who plays with fire is going to get burnt. Example would be, you go into a store with one of your friends, you call him a friend, but he likes to do, Louise, it's called a five-finger discount. Do you know what a five-finger discount is? What's a five-finger discount? That's a New York expression. Five-finger discount. Five-finger. What that means? A thief. No? So you go into a store with a guy who's doing the five-finger discount. He says, hey, look. Just rip it off. There's no one there. This store, they've got so many things. They're not gonna miss it. So he rips it off, and you say, no, I really shouldn't do that. Following day, you're in the store, and he says, come on, don't be a wimp. Luis the Wimpito. Come on, don't be a wimp. Come on. So he steals, and then you end up by stealing. Why? Because it's called peer pressure. Did you ever know that when you're in a group setting, it's much different than being alone with someone? It's called mob psychology. Somebody say the mob ended by killing people. They never do it if there was just one-on-one. But mob psychology, they're whipped up into a frenzy and they end up by killing people. See, those things happen, right? Behind that often is the devil. So you have to kind of be careful who you choose to have friends. What is your definition of a friend? I think I have a different definition than you have. I know you're going to say, well, a friend is always faithful to the other friend. Well, cholos are. Cholo is going to be faithful to another cholo. So I think that definition falls apart. A real friend is someone who helps you become a better person, get closer to Christ. Amen? Yeah. Like that definition? Real friend helps you to be a better person, get closer to Christ. That's a true friend. Right, Diego?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the next. Ready? How about fervent and frequent reception of the sacraments. Yes or no? Josue, what do you think? Yes or no? Okay, good. So confession as well as communion. Now, if you don't eat, you're going to die. If you don't nourish your soul, you're going to die spiritually. Isn't that common sense? A lot of people are dying of malnutrition. Malnutrition means they don't have proper diet. There are a lot of Catholics are dying of malnutrition because they don't receive the Eucharist. Right? Do you know how many Catholics go to church on Sunday? 25%. When I was your age, it was 80%. Just a matter of two generations, we've gone from people going to Mass, 8 out of 10. Now it's maybe 2 out of 10. And just 50 years. 50 years isn't that long. Sounds like a long time to you, but it sounds like a short time to me, huh? Yeah. Ask your grandfather. How many people went to Mass when he was your age? Maybe 90%, huh? So you got to be... You guys go to church, huh? Go to church on Sunday? Be thankful. Are you going to be going to church when you're 20 years old? We hope, right? You guys going to go to college? Yeah, you're going to be the acid test, huh? I think all the professors in the universe are going to say, oh, you have to read the Bible. You really have to love God. Make sure you say your rosary. Make sure you go to confession every week. All the professors in all the universities in the United States are going to tell you that, right? You think? I wish that were the case, but I don't think so, do you?
No, not at all.
Often in some universities, if you say you believe in God, they make fun of you. Do you know what atheism means? Have you heard the word atheism? What's atheism mean?
They don't believe in any God.
So they don't believe in any God, no? Did you ever hear the story of the atheist who said, I'm an atheist, thanks be to God. I thought you liked that one. Did you ever hear the story of the atheist and the little boy had the conversation underneath the oak tree? Have you heard this one? It's a pretty good one. There's an atheist, doesn't believe in God. He's talking with a little 8-year-old boy underneath an oak tree. And the atheist says to the little boy, you believe in God, you're dumb. God doesn't exist. All of a sudden, what happened was, there was a wind that started to blow. And the God allowed the wind to kick up. And the leaves and the branches were being blown by the wind. All of a sudden, an acorn fell from the tree. You know what the law of gravity is? Fell down and down and hit the man in the nose, the acorn. And he got a nosebleed. And the old man said to the boy, see, if your God was so intelligent, he would put acorns in trees. The little boy said, no, God is intelligent. He didn't put watermelons in trees. Amen. Like that one? It's a good one, huh? If it had watermelons in a tree, the guy would be dead, all right? An acorn. Anyway, do they have acorns here in California? Maybe not. Okay, I guess they don't. Where I'm from, the East Coast, you have these oak trees, and the oak trees have these acorns, and they're really small. About this size, and it falls, it's going to hit you in the nose, but it's not the same thing as a watermelon, is it, no? So the little boy was able to conquer the atheist with that response, huh? So you're going to meet the atheist, says, I'm an atheist, thanks be to God, there's something wrong with that, right? Okay, next is love of Mary and the daily recitation of the Holy Rosary. Yes or no? Yes? Mark that in there. You're getting your rosary every day? Uh-oh. Pinocchio. There's a good Lenten proposal. Try to pray the rosary every day. You can do it. You don't have to wear the rosary like a cholo. Put it in between your hands. Pray it. Right? Okay. Duration of hell. Okay, how long does hell last? Response? Forever. It is eternal. Forever and ever and ever. Did Our Lady of Fatima reveal hell? Yes. In her apparition to Saint... You know the three Fatima children, you know their names? You know? Diego, do you remember? No. Well, if you're a walking dictionary of knowledge, what would it be? Go ahead. A word of wives to the peanut gallery here. I'll tell you. Saint Jacinta. Jacinta or Jacinta, J-A-C-E-I-N-T-A. Spanish is pronounced Jacinta. You aspirate the J in Espanol. Right? And then the Saint Francisco. And Blessed Lucia. On July 13th, 1917. What were the principal reasons for most people going to hell, according to Our Lady Fatima? Most souls go to hell due to the, write it in there, sins of the flesh. That is to say, the sins against the virtue of purity. And that's why you got your ring, or you got your cross that most of you guys have taken off already, huh? You had to put it back on, shouldn't they, huh? None of you wear a scapular either, huh? None of you guys wear a scapular. Boy, what are you walking around? A scapular? You ever see a scapular? You know what happened? I gave you it in your first communion. Did you throw it away? Look at this. Scapular. I always wear my scapular. You touch it. You feel something in it? What do you got there?
It's not a... I forgot what it's called.
You don't know if that's in there? You can feel it, can't you? It's a medal. It's a medal of Mary. And you have another medal of Saint Benedict. So I wear my scapular, the medal of Mary, the medal of Saint Benedict, and I got my rosary in my pocket. This is a very strong, powerful protection against the temptations of the devil. If any of you... Okay... You listen, if any of you honestly, you say you're going to wear it, I could bring you one that was made by my mother. Because my mother, this was made by my mom. My mom was getting close to 90 years old. But in her home, she tries to do a lot of good by writing letters to priests and praying a lot. And she likes to make scapulars. So I'll go check out my room. I think I've got a few. And if I tell my mom, Mom, these confirmation boys on Thursday, they really want the scapular. Could you make 20 scapulars? She would do it. It might take a month because 90-year-old woman is not as strong as a 13-year-old teenager, right? She's still pretty alert. I think that's a pretty offering, a pretty good offering, isn't it? Yeah. Made by a mother of a priest, and she happens to be very, very holy too. She prays a lot. They're not convinced, no? They almost have to just dump them in hell for at least a couple of seconds. That's going to wake you guys up, huh? Oh yeah, I never go out the door without wearing my scapular. When you kiss it, it's like you're saying, Mary, I really love you. And Mary promises an indulgence every time you kiss the scapular. Yep. So you kiss the scapular, you could get your great-grandfather out of purgatory. Maybe he's there. Yep. You get an indulgence. For the souls in the purgatory, you can get it for yourself. Your mother was with me in Yorba Linda. There was about 400 people that made the consecration. And I placed, there was probably double the number, but eight. I've already placed thousands of scapulars on people all over Los Angeles and Orange. No? Thousands. No? Because at the end of my consecration program, we come, we give them a free scapular, and they wear it. And when I see them, some of them take it off and say, "What? Where's your scapular?" "Oh, I was taking a shower and I took it." "Well, put it back on. Put it back on." This is a sign that you belong to Mary. It's an external sign that you belong to the Blessed Mother. You're in the school of Mary. You're in the heart of Mary, right? So, I preached my little Marian homily today. I always like to do that at the end of the class, huh? Okay, number 10, we got one more to go. So we were able to get out of hell, right? So we learned about hell, but we're getting out of it, right? We're not going to end up there. Saint Faustina. Did Jesus reveal to Saint Faustina the sufferings of those condemned to hell? Hegel, yes or no? Yes. This, in the Diary of Mercy, number 714, it is a good read for our topic on hell. Amen? So next week, I think on Thursday, right? Next week, there's no class on Wednesday, but on Thursday, there's going to be a movie, right? Pretty sure there's going to be some activity.
On Wednesday? They don't come on Wednesday.
No, because that's Ash Wednesday. Yeah.
So they come on Thursday.
Thursday, and there's going to be, I think, they're going to be coming with the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday group. Okay? I think Adnella, did she mention that?
Yeah, it's in the...
Okay, that's in your syllabus, okay? Because Wednesday you got thousands of people lining up to get their ashes, especially at 5 o'clock. You're going to get thousands of people that want their ashes. So, sorry, I know you guys are really sad that you can't come to class, but you have to attend to those thousand people. Huh? You guys going to go to Matt? You going to go to church to get your ashes too?
Yes.
You ever go with your parents? Yeah. It's a good way to start Lent. So let's say Hail Mary, and then you'll have the attendance, right? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Word. Is it in their syllabus?
Yes.
So the Thursday.
Everything comes.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Great. Do you have to do the attendance?
Yes.
Okay, good. See you guys later.
Yeah.